It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Ozero, joined by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, week one starts this Thursday, and that means that college football is officially back.
No, it's back. I actually enjoyed week zero. I mean, it's just a few games.
I only watched one game.
They were good games. That Florida State game in Ireland, good game. I watched Montana State later in the day. They were 13.5-point favorites. That's the largest favorite of an FCS team over an FBS team since 2013, 11 years. Looked like Montana State was going to lose. They found a way to win at the end, being an FCS beating FBS. They didn't cover, but I enjoyed it. But obviously, this weekend's a lot better.
Yeah, that Florida State game, I mean, you know, there's some talent on the team. But, man, they looked very disjointed. DJU did not look very good. Very inaccurate. I mean, you could tell like they didn't really know what they were wanting to do with him. He's massive. He's 6'4", 250, but like he doesn't use that athleticism as much as he should. I mean, you know, you look at him and you kind of see like a Jalen Hurts type, but he doesn't really use that athleticism, nor does he really seem to have the accuracy that you kind of want in that position.
Yeah, very inaccurate. That's why he's on three schools at this point. Florida State was hurt by the 10 drafted players.
Right, they were.
They had 10 players drafted off that team, and you can't expect them. And keep in mind, last 21 years, all but one year, a top 10 preseason team hasn't finished in the top 10 of the season. That could very well be Florida State. Kind of thought that before. But you lose 10 players in the NFL draft. I don't care. That's 10 out of your 22. Come on.
And you say that, but then you see teams like Georgia go out there and still compete. Like Alabama still compete. You see teams like Clemson still compete. So I don't know. Like maybe you don't stay at the very top, you know, top end there.
LSU took hit a bit.
Yeah, but you still see a lot of teams with a lot of talent go out there, and year over year, they're able to replace that talent because they recruit really well. You know, they went out, they shopped, they found a quarterback they liked. But unfortunately, it was DJ Uiagalelei. And he's one of those guys that there's a reason why he's on his third school in his career. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that ends up in, like, the UFL or whatnot. But, yeah, like, very unimpressive with what I saw.
Well, I mean, if it's not going to be quarterback, be like Logan Thomas and switch the tight end at some point.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Maybe that ends up working for him. So before we're not going to have like our regular segments yet because we only have, you know, there was only four games that were played at the FBS level. This past weekend, there were a lot of FCS teams out there playing this past weekend. Like, was it McNeese and Tarleton State? They played.
Montana State played. They were the ones that upset New Mexico.
Yeah. So we're not going to go over like our regular segments like moneymakers and whatnot. But we are going to start with the Chiefs. As the Chiefs today is tomorrow is the cut line day, or if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it would be on Tuesday, but we record on Monday, and today they have announced some cuts and players waived, but they did make a big signing. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver, was on the 22 team that won the Super Bowl. He signed with the Patriots on a 3-year deal, got cut, what was it, a couple weeks ago, I believe. Now he's back on the team, signed with them earlier today, was at practice today. So looks like it's going to be a little tough for someone in that combination of Justin Ross, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore to make the team now that you got Juju Smith-Schuster back on the squad.
It was interesting. I mean, New England doesn't have any wide receivers, and yet they tried to get Calvin Ridley. They tried to trade for Brandon Ayuk. Didn't work out for New England, and yet they're willing to eat $7 million getting married to Juju. That kind of stands out a little bit to me. I will say this. Will he be on the roster until Hollywood Brown comes back? Probably. But one thing the NFL changed 2 years ago is you can put six players on your practice squad that have unlimited NFL experience. Could you see a situation where Juju ends up on the Chiefs practice squad? He missed most of the camp, gets back there.
I don't.
He could. I'm just saying he could.
I don't.
I think he's going to be a guy that finds himself inactive a lot of weeks.
Yeah, I think he'll be inactive a good amount, but I don't think he's going to be someone that goes to the practice squad because I think someone might scoop him up.
And when Hollywood comes back, I mean, it's going to change everything.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I think I don't think this is a major impact signing just because, like, right now, like, this is like at this level, this is like a Justin Watson type move. Like, you're talking about your fourth or fifth wide receiver. It doesn't move me. I feel a little bit more confident about the depth, but like, this was not a move that I felt like is like, it's not a slam dunk move. There's a reason why Juju got cut. You know, his knee issues have been really bad. Ankle issues have been bad. And we obviously saw that late in the season in 22. Had to leave the AFC Championship game. Like, we know about this.
And so, they could have had him a while ago, too. So it shows me their trust in the wide receivers that are on here. Yeah. They break off that phone call. You and I were kind of waiting for Kingsley. Are they going to break off that phone call to Donovan Smith or David Beckham? Are they going to break out that phone call?
Well, I think we knew that there wasn't going to be a veteran left tackle call by the time training camp happened. Really, by the time mandatory ended.
I didn't think they'd call a receiver either.
I didn't think they would either, but I think this is kind of a surprising circumstance because usually when teams make their cuts for guys like that, it's like right now. It's not 2 weeks ago when training camp is still going on for most teams. So the fact that they made that move then is like, okay. And it could have been a situation where Juju wanted to leave as well and wanted to go somewhere else because it's like, hey, this isn't a good opportunity. This is a bad team. I mean, we obviously saw that with Matthew Judon, who got traded last week to the Atlanta Falcons.
It was a bad quarterback play last year. I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so it's like there were a lot of different factors in there. And I think, yeah, I mean, it could have very well been a situation where Juju wanted to leave, and that's why he got cut. In addition to the lack of availability and, you know, him not being that much better than other options they have on their roster. So, yeah, it might have been a situation where, hey, we'll let you go. You can go out here and you can talk to other teams and we'll see what, you know, you can get in a better situation. A guy that I think is going to make the team, rookie, who did not get drafted, guy you talked about a lot after they signed him as a UDFA, Carson Steele, looks like he's going to make the roster. Looks like he's going to force the Chiefs' hand, and he's going to make that final 53 and be that fullback that we thought the Chiefs were going to have last season around draft time. Looks like Carson Steele is going to bring the fullback back to the Chiefs' backfield.
You know, I think it's good. I think he definitely earned his way on the team. 100%. I believe that he'll be on this football team. And, you know, you can make an argument, is he the second best runner they have on the team this year? I mean, the breaking tackles and the things like this. But the one thing about it is you have a halfback and a fullback's body because that's what he is. You know, he's very elusive for his size at over 230 pounds. But he's a halfback. I mean, he ran halfback last year for UCLA. He was a halfback in the MAC. And we know Brett Veach in his scouting of the MAC, I mean, he's – the one credited with Kareem Hunt a lot that came out of the MAC at Toledo. But this guy led the MAC in rushing 2 years ago. And to me, all I can think of is the third and one, fourth and one. Like, that's where the Chiefs really, really struggled. Like, despite how tough Isaiah Pacheco runs and how hard he runs, that third and one and fourth and one was tough for the Chiefs to get. Carson Steele, I love the way that he follows his blocks. And again, he can break away one, too. He's not your typical fullback. Typical fullbacks in college may have 132 combined yards rushing their whole time. I mean, this is a traditional halfback that's going to be a fullback. I think there's a lot of different things you can do with him, including special teams. But, yeah, I think he definitely earned his way on the team.
Yeah, he's a very violent runner, but he also has that halfback ability to dodge defenders, find the hole, and blast through it without having to take a whole lot of contact. Good feet. He knows that. Yeah, he's got a good feel for blocks, for run fits. This is a kid. I agree with you. I think he's probably the second best running back on the roster, and he should get more touches than Clyde, because I think he one thing that I was impressed by a lot was his pass protection. He's a hitter. He was out here popping these guys who were coming in as extra blitzers and trying to get after the quarterback. So having that is immediately going to give you value, because that was something that it took a little bit for Clyde to develop. It took a little bit for Pacheco to develop the pass protection. Carson Steele immediately comes in and provides you the ability to – he can pass protect, he can get you those short yardage situations, he can catch. Like, there's a skill set that you get from Carson Steele that I'm not sure you get that from any of your backs other than Pop. And yeah, I think that he very much forced the Chiefs' hands, and he made them put him in a position where he makes the team.
And they said that too, on the broadcast, with the Chiefs front office, when there's like, sometimes a player forces your hand. Sometimes a player says, hey, sign me. Here's another guy that I think was a gem pickup by the Chiefs. He didn't go to the combine.
Nope.
Like, he didn't go to the scouting combine. Reminds me of Mike Dana. But Mike Dana was drafted by the Chiefs in the fifth round. Carson Steele wasn't. But they were both guys that didn't go to the combine that are going to be on this roster.
Another guy that definitely forced the Chiefs' hand, Kingsley Suamataia. The Chiefs did not give him the left tackle job. He earned it. He was a guy that initially was penciled in as number two. Wanya Morris was the starter at the beginning of training camp. By the time the pads came on later that week, it was Kingsley who had that left tackle job. And very quickly, we got to see that in the preseason. Didn't get a ton of reps in preseason, but in the time that he was out there, you could see him start to acclimate and improve every time he was out there. I mean, just based on what we were hearing from training camp, based on what we saw in the few reps he got in preseason, he looks comfortable. He does not look like a rookie in the sense of being overwhelmed and caught with pressure. I think Kingsley did a great job in the limited reps he got in preseason. I think he impressed the team a lot with his athleticism and his strength in training camp. And yeah, I thought he ran away with this just because they like the traits that he has. He is a smart kid, and they like the head he has on his shoulders, and I think they feel like he can come in and handle that pressure of having to protect the blind side of the best quarterback in the league.
Obviously going to be a guy that we didn't see a ton of in preseason, just like that first one was a six snaps.
Yeah, not a ton of reps.
And that's okay. That's what you expect. So I was going to say, when you think about rookie impacts, he's obviously getting more snaps than any other rookie on this team. But who stood out? Carson Steele on offense and Jaden Hicks, because they played a lot. Kingsley, he had to take over Wanya Morris. Wanya Morris was a starter, a lot in OTAs, and Kingsley would come in. But once the pads come on, actually when they showed up to St. Joe, it was still Wanya. Pads come on, it was Kingsley. But I think he showed his athleticism. What they do when they put the tackle out there, and the tackle gets out there in front of those screens, his athletic ability and getting downfield, mauling blockers, I think people are going to really enjoy the way that Kingsley can move in that pocket for his size.
Yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of screens over to the left side of the line. Getting Kingsley Suamataia and Joe Tooney out there on the in that flat area, throwing those screens to him and letting him go downfield and block. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially because like I imagine that Suamataia is going to have some like Trey Smith moments where he just blows up like a defender, like a safety coming over trying to help on that screen pass, defend the screen pass, and he just gets mauled by Suamataia. I can imagine that happen because Kings has got some wheels on him, and he's very incredibly he's impressive physically.
Well, this draft class, again, 2 years ago, they drafted for necessity when those five rookie defensive backs played the Super Bowl and Pacheco. Last year, more of a draft for luxury, different positions. This year is a draft necessity. You get your left tackle, You get a wide receiver in Xavier Worthy. It's going to spread the field. And Jaden Hicks, it was all like four, five, six tackles each and every game. He's going to make his presence known for the Kansas City Chiefs this year.
Jaden Hicks was easily the most impressive defensive player that we saw in preseason for the Chiefs. He was amazing. He was everywhere. He was great in coverage. He was great coming up in the run game. Yeah, I mean, I was very impressed with him. It was one of the things I talked about after the draft. We did that Sunday morning after the draft. Like, dude, man, this guy, he has the skills to be a very great safety. And it's just a matter of how quickly does he pick up the defensive scheme and how much do they let him do out there? And they're letting him do a lot. They're giving him a lot of freedom to kind of do what Tyrann Mathieu was doing when he was here in Kansas City. So I'm really impressed with him. And I think that I think at 25, that's the guy you're looking at as your starting strong safety.
No, I agree with you. And he'll definitely be in the rotation and get some looks this year. Plus, he's been playing in four phases of special teams. I mean, yeah. He's like, again, Dave Tobe loves those type of guys, you know, doing that. That's why he spoke so highly of Nico Remigio by being a special teams player. But Jaden Hicks is definitely going to get some work for the Chiefs in the rotation. He's a hitter. And not only that, he can blitz from the secondary, something Steve Spagnuolo loves. I mean, Trent McDuffie at corner, he has no interceptions in the NFL yet, right? None. But he had three sacks last year, so he can get around. No one's throwing to him either on his side. But he's the type of guy that can get after the quarterback, and that's what I like about Jaden Hicks.
And then first-round pick, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. You know, I think a lot of people are worried about the weight issue, and I don't think you really have to be very concerned about that. We saw that he very quickly took to the offense. In the first preseason game, he was able to push those safeties back and open things up underneath. I've been watching some of those games from 2018, and that's literally what Tyreek Hill did, and it's the reason why their offense was so effective that year, because a lot of teams did try to counter them early on with two deep safety looks, and it didn't matter because the Chiefs were able to kill them underneath with Sammy Watkins and Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden, it made them incredibly, because you're either going to get killed by the underneath stuff or the deep stuff. And I think teams are going to early on not quite respect the deep passing game. And then the Chiefs will hit a couple home runs with Worthy and with Hollywood. And all of a sudden, teams are like, okay, we got to take them seriously.
I remember seeing Bill Belichick. He was on with McAfee today. He was talking about how the Chiefs, you don't find out who your team is till 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He was talking about last year how the Chiefs realized, okay, mate, they're a defensive team. You know what I mean? And it changed different. He's expecting the different Chiefs team this year to kind of surprise some teams. Xavier Worthy's part of that. And the one thing about Xavier Worthy, he could play both. He could be the X guy, your number one receiver, and he could play in the slot. Now, getting off man coverage is going to be tough for him. But he can get there. Putting him in motion gives him that free release that I think you want with Xavier Worthy. And we saw it during the preseason getting downfield and really showing his hands and showing that burst of speed. I mean, and that separation he can create. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, first off, there's not very many corners that can effectively play man coverage in the league at a level where you could shut down someone with his level of talent. I mean, you remember in 2018 when the Chiefs played the Jags and you had Jalen Ramsey. He's been one of the best press corners in the league for a while. And even he got beat a few times by Tyreek just because it's hard to do that. It's hard to play press in this league. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not too concerned about it because I think he's a very good route runner. And I think the speed, I mean, if you make one mistake, gone. But, you know, the other aspect is, yeah, you brought up, like, the Chiefs did an excellent job with Tyreek of moving him around and putting him in motion in ways where press coverage was impossible. And I think that they're going to be just fine just because you're going to be able to find ways to get him open. Plus, on top of that, you also have Hollywood, and it's going to be really hard to get. Very few teams have a couple of corners that are capable of going out there and playing physical press man coverage and doing good work on those guys. So, yeah, I think we saw a lot of encouraging things from Xavier Worthy. He looked really good against the Lions in preseason game number two. And, I mean, yeah, at this point now, I think you feel very comfortable with this class. Even guys like Jared Wiley should be able to contribute in like the red zone and whatnot. So, yeah,
Norzad being center and moving around.
Yeah, Norzad's a guy that, you know,
Alec Reddy type. That's exactly what Veach said when he drafted
him. He's going to be a versatile interior lineman that is you're going to be able to plug and play in situations where you need it. So moving on to guys that we know, at least right now, will not be on this 2024 team. Starting out with the guys who were waived, quarterback Ian Book, did not expect him to make the team. Defensive lineman Alex Gubner. Wide receiver Kyle Sheets. Offensive lineman Nick Torres. I think he's a guard.
Sheets was the guy they signed from Slippery Rock.
Right. Yeah, he was that's an FCS school, right?
Slippery Rock is the Division 2 or FCS?
Is it Division 2? Yeah, it might be D2. Wide receiver Phillip Brooks, corner Miles Battle, corners Echo Boydo, a guy that a lot of people thought could potentially make this team as a back end corner there. Defensive end Owen Carney, guard Griffin McDowell, long snapper Randon Plattner.
He's the guy from Park Hill South. Right. They brought him from K-State.
They brought him in there. And then tight end Draquarius Spivey. They were all waived. And then Kelvin Joseph was released, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, he had a real good chance to make the team.
He had a very good camp. He was actually pretty high up on the depth chart there. And a lot of those – he was getting a lot of first-team reps, especially with Jalen Watson being hurt. He got a lot of first-team reps, and a lot of people were impressed with him. I think he might be a priority guy as far as practice squad goes. But don't be shocked if there's a team out there that decides to sign him to their final 53.
And practice squad starts the day after tomorrow, at noon the next day.
Right. So getting to our week one watch list. So we basically have 5 days of football coming up here, though – our watch list is only going to cover 4 of those days because the Monday matchup is Boston College and FSU.
Yeah,
and FSU was not impressive at all on last Saturday. So yeah, if you want to watch DJ Uiagalelei go out there and struggle to be accurate, then be my guest. But starting with Thursday. You got Western Carolina taking on number 24 NC State. You've got cornerback Aiden White. Cornerback, I think, is going to be a position to watch out for on like day two or early day three.
Because
I
do think a top 12, 13 corner.
Right. Yeah.
Big,
so
6 foot, about 190.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got good size to him. I don't know what his arm length is, but he's a good size corner there. Chiefs do like the corners with good size on them. So that's a guy to watch out for. They also have a tackle named Anthony Belton as well.
Pretty high prospect, too. And Grace McCall is a quarterback. Remember him from Coastal Carolina?
Right.
Yeah.
Murray State takes on number 11, Mizzou. Obviously, who I think is the best receiver in this draft class, Luther Burden III. You want to watch out for him. They also have Theo Weiss Jr., another wide receiver there.
Yeah, Theo, he transferred from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
People are looking at him, maybe a fourth round pick, mid round type of guy.
He's probably a third day pick.
Yeah, fourth, fifth round, something like that.
And then tackle Marcus Bryant as well. KU is going to be hosting Lindenwood. KU number 22 to start the year, so that's very impressive. They got running back Devin Neal. Running back, I think, is going to be a position the Chiefs might be looking at in the draft.
He's actually
next season.
Probably one of the top 10 running backs next year.
Yeah, he's higher up, so the Chiefs would probably have to draft him second day if they want to get him. And then you've got cornerback Kobe Bryant as well. Then you've got North Carolina taking on Minnesota. North Carolina's got this really good running back named Omarion Hampton to watch out for.
Some say the best in the country.
Arguably the best in the country, though. I think Donovan Edwards is going to have some, and Quinshon Judkins are going to have something to say about
that. Both those guys.
North Carolina also has a tight end named Bryson Nesbitt that I think you should look out for as well. Again, we don't know if Jared Wiley is going to be that guy at tight end. We'll see. I mean, they like Jared Wiley a lot, enough to put him first team on some reps. But don't sleep on them going out and get another tight end. And Nesbitt is a really good athlete, good size, agility, speed combo there for a tight end. That's a guy to look out for. They also have a guard named Zach Rice to look out for, and an edge rusher, Kamon Rucker, as well. So this UNC team is actually pretty good, and there's going to be a lot of players to watch out for. A matchup that we've talked about, a matchup that is going to be, I think, could very well be an upset alert type matchup. North Dakota State is going to be going into Boulder and taking on the Colorado Buffaloes. Shedeur Sanders, potential first-round quarterback, definitely going to be someone to look out for as well. If he has a big year, if he's in the Heisman conversation, he could be the first overall pick in the next year's draft. You also have wide receiver slash cornerback Travis Hunter.
Who's really going to be interesting at the next level.
Yeah.
Because he can... He was better at corner when he was at Jackson State, better right. than what he was at Colorado, but that didn't define who he is.
Yeah, and I think he started to really catch up as far as being a wide receiver.
Yeah.
When he was at, in his first year at Colorado. So I think he's gonna have to make a choice. I don't think he's gonna be able to play both ways at the NFL level. I think a choice is gonna be made. I think wide receiver is gonna be that choice. But yeah, watch out for Travis Hunter there, and then also safety Shiloh Sanders, the other son for Deion Sanders.
Look out though, just like these FCS teams, highly ranked FCS teams, it's tough for
don't sleep on North Dakota State.
It's already beaten K State, Minnesota, Iowa State before in their past.
Yeah, don't sleep on North Dakota State pulling the upset off. Here. Like they generally have usually like every other year or so they'll have like one guy who's an NFL level talent and they're coached really well. Like don't sleep on them. Then you have Southern Utah taking on Utah. You've got 20-year veteran Brant Cuthi over there at tight end. This is a guy that's been talked about for the draft for like 2 or 3 years now.
A little bit undersized though. He's about 6'2".
He's a Dalton Kincaid type guy.
The top 10 tight end most consider.
Yeah, he's a guy that probably, if he has a big year, he could be a second-day guy. So look out for him. But that's a guy I've seen. I've had him on my watch list for like 2 or 3 years now. So it's not shocking that he's a guy to look out for. And then to close out the Thursday lineup, you got Eastern Illinois going to Illinois and Edge Gabe Jockus. Or I'll figure out how to say his name, but as far as right now, it looks like Jockus. He is going to be someone to look out for as well on the edge there. And I do think edge is a position the Chiefs might have to think about.
It's a question mark with Felix,
Yeah, because Felix didn't have a great camp, didn't really, look that great as a pass rusher in the preseason. So you got to think about the potential that they might have to draft another edge rusher next season.
Earn his first round status.
Yeah. He's definitely going to have to show a lot more than what he's shown thus far in this month. Moving on to Friday, a couple matchups to look out for, starting with Temple taking on OU. OU's got a really good team. And it starts with their two wide receivers, Nick Anderson, Deion Burks. That's going to be those two guys are really going to help propel that offense forward in a tough SEC conference with a lot of talent on defense. They also have a couple stud linebackers, Danny Stutzman and Desan McCullough. And then they also have a cornerback in Gentry Williams to look out for. So I think linebacker is a position for the Chiefs will have to look out for if they decide not to pay Nick Bolton a long-term deal, which I think is very possible.
Very possible.
Because they just paid Creed $18 million a year.
And you can get those inside linebacker in the draft.
And we have heard that the Chiefs would like to be able to keep Trey as well. If they choose Trey Smith, Nick Bolton is almost assuredly gone. But they could opt to not pay Trey Smith what he's looking for, and then they could let both guys leave because there's some financial stake there. So, linebacker, I think, is going to be a position that the Chiefs are going to be looking out for. Even though they do have Drew Tranquil under contract for 3 seasons, you still got to think about the future beyond Nick Bolton. And then the other matchup for Friday, TCU taking on Stanford. Elik Iomanure, wide receiver for Stanford, is a guy to look out for. He came on, he was one of the best receivers last year. He may have been a first round pick if he had been in the draft this earlier this year. That's how talented this kid is. He probably would have been, I think, somewhere in that first to third round range.
And we liked him last year a lot.
We liked him a lot.
Basically Stanford's only guy.
Yeah, he was their only guy. And look, he played in a talent conference in the Pac-12, and he put up some really big numbers. One of the best receivers in the FBS. So that's a guy to look out for as well. He could very well be a first round receiver in next year's draft. Saturday, this is where all the big matchups are. Clemson, number 14, taking on number one Georgia. This is a huge matchup here. Starting with Clemson squad, you got wide receiver Antonio Williams, tight end Jake Brenningstuhl, defensive tackle Peter Woods, one of the best defensive tackles in this class, linebacker Barrett Carter, a guy that we had on our radar last year as a potential draft pick. He decided to stay. Moving over to Georgia side, Georgia's loaded. Carson Beck could be the top quarterback in this year's draft. Trevor Etienne could be one of the top running backs in this class if he has a strong year. Oscar Delp, tight end. That's someone to look out for.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, you think about Brock Bowers and how good he was last year.
Yeah.
Delp's a big dude, man. He's like 6'5", 245, 250 pounds. That's a prototypical type they look for.
Yep. They got a couple of guards, Tate Ratledge and Dylan Fairchild. On the defensive side, Nazir Stackhouse is one of the best defensive tackles in this class, in this draft class. Edge rusher Mikel Williams, and they also have another one on the other side named Jalen Walker. And then Smail Mondon Jr. is their top linebacker on their roster. There's a lot of good talent on this Georgia squad.
And of course, quarterback Carson Beck. Even though the Chiefs won't be looking for a quarterback,
yeah, but he'll play into the draft if he does go in the first round, because the more quarterbacks go, the easier it is for the Chiefs to get players at positions that they
and something
actually
be
want.
The first overall pick at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So you know that's definitely something that you got to take into account. That's the reason why we bring up quarterbacks, because those quarterbacks do matter. Then you got Penn State taking on West Virginia. Drew Aller, the quarterback for the Nittany Lions, along with wide receiver Julian Fleming, guys you want to look out for. They also have tight end Tyler Warren, edge rusher Danny Dennis
and
Sutton.
Tyler's another one of those guys, 6'6". I mean, he's a big dude.
Yeah, there's a lot of really big but really athletic tight ends in this draft class. Edge rusher Danny Dennis Sutton, one of the better edge rushers in the draft class. And then Abdul Carter, who's could very well end up being one of the best linebackers in this draft class. Illinois State takes on number 25, Iowa. Iowa has a few guys that you want to be looking out for. Number one, tight end Luke Lachey. That's a guy you really want to look, because, again, tight end position, that's
another
really
six,
valuable.
Six guy.
And Iowa is a tight end factory.
100% tight end factory.
They put, I mean, that, if you want a tight end, that's where you go. Sam Laporta, guy last, he almost had 100 receptions last year as a rookie in Detroit. George Kittle, obviously. I mean, look, they're a factory for tight ends. So you definitely want to look at anybody they have there that looks like they play the part. They also have a guard named Connor Colby that could be in play for the Chiefs on like day two, day three, if that's where they're looking to go. They have a linebacker, Jay Higgins, one of the best linebackers in the country. And then Sebastian Castro, one of the best corners in the country as well. So this Iowa team has a lot of good talent. Then Akron taking on Ohio State. Ohio State, number two in the nation. Tons of talent. Will Howard at quarterback. Don't think he's going to be – I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes undrafted, but – I mean,
you get the fourth best eyes.
We've seen guys go into these situations where they're not on a radar at all for being drafted in the first round, and then they have a great year. They put a lot of great things on tape, and they work their way into like the first, second round range. That could very well be Will Howard this year. I'm not confident in that, but I do think it's something you should watch out for, just because that he's in a great place with a lot of talent around him, and maybe he'll improve as a passer, especially taking care of the football, and he turns into the kind of quarterback that a team wants to draft early. I mean, you know, J.J. McCarthy kind of came out of nowhere. Michael Penix came out of nowhere. Bo Nix came out of nowhere, and, you know, look at them now. They were all first-round quarterbacks.
But the one thing is Kansas City really didn't like Ohio State. They just refused to draft them.
The Chiefs, they don't draft Ohio State guys. Yeah. They just don't. So this could all be a moot point, but we'll bring them up anyways just in case they decide to break the streak this year. They also have two running backs there, Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Two guys that you want to look out for as well.
Travion's been carrying the load for a long time for Ohio State, but Judkins transferred over from Ole Miss.
Right, yeah, he's a really talented running back there, so you want to look out for them. They also have a guy that was projected to be a first-round quarterback for most of last – first-round receiver most of last season. He was not impressive at all in any of the games that we watched, save for, like, the last one of the regular season. That being Emeka Egbuka, who is thought to be this year again a first-round talent at wide receiver.
Had he not been injured so much last year, I think he goes.
And then you have two guards as well, Donovan Jackson and Carson Hensman. On the defensive side, you've got Tyleek Williams at defensive tackle. You've got both edge rushers for Ohio State, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, two guys that we talked about a lot last year, decided to stay, and these are two of the highest-rated edge rushers for the class of 2025. You also have cornerback Denzel Burke, and you also have another cornerback on the other side, Jordan Hancock. So this is an incredibly talented Ohio State team. Moving on to Miami versus Florida and Miami number 19. All these guys here are going to be on the Miami side. Cam Ward at quarterback, transfer from Washington State.
Really good quarterback at Washington State.
Really talented quarterback. And again, this is nowadays with quarterbacks being in high demand, if you show some promise, if you've got the measurables, teams will take a risk on you in the first round.
By some, as the top 12 quarterback in next year's draft.
Yeah. Like Cam Ward could very, again, and I say this, there's nobody that is for sure going to be the top quarterback in this draft class right now. I know Carson Beck looks nice. I know that Quinn Ewers looks nice. I know Shedeur Sanders looks nice. Cam Ward could end up being that guy. He could jump all those guys and end up being the top quarterback in this draft class. Do not sleep on any of these quarterbacks that we bring up to you, because nothing's set in stone right now. Miami also has a running back, Damian Martinez. Very, very good running back for them. They have an edge rusher named Reuben Bain Jr. and a linebacker in Francis Maui-Goa. Old Dominion taking on South Carolina. A guy that we talked about heavily last year, one of the best tacklers in the nation, linebacker Jason Henderson for Old Dominion. He decided not to enter the draft and could very well end up paying off for him. He might end up improving his draft stock this year. On the South Carolina side, Raheem Sanders, one of the highest rated running backs in this draft class, is there. And they also have a couple of really good defensive tackles, TJ Sanders and then Tonka Hemingway. So South Carolina, sneaky good team to watch out for just because of the talent they have in some important positions for the Chiefs, especially that defensive tackle position. Because I think you agree with this, Bink. Defensive tackle is probably going to be the biggest need the Chiefs have next year.
No, I'm with you. A wide receiver and defensive tackle, I think, as we sit right now with the Chiefs. Wide receiver is still needed because you think about, you know, Hollywood Brown's probably there for 1 year. But I want to bring back up Jason Henderson again, how much we liked him.
Yeah.
He had 186 tackles 2 years ago, yeah. 170 last year.
Yeah.
Dude is just a tackle. He had 19 and a half tackles for loss last year. 4.5 sacks, not your typical sacker, but just a tackling machine is Henderson.
Yeah, like he is a pure Mike linebacker. He can blitz. But, yeah, this is a guy, like, you think of him, he kind of reminds you of Leo Chanel type guy. If you could get that, if you can get him and he's a short tackler and he acclimates to playing at the NFL level very well, could be a steal for you. I don't know if he's going to play his way into day two of the draft. He could be an early day three guy, but he could be a really good value on day three. A big thing for him is going to be the testing at the combine that and pro day. That stuff's going to really matter for him. Western Kentucky taking on number 5 Alabama. You got Jalen Milroe, another guy who could be the top quarterback in this draft class. That was a guy that I wasn't confident about last season, but this season, new offense, got Kalen DeBoer there, came down from Washington
last year for a game, remember?
Yeah.
Now looked upon maybe a Heisman. Hopefully.
Yeah, he might be a Heisman guy, and they got a lot of talent there in Alabama, and I think Jalen Milroe is going to have a much better year this year. You got Jeremy Bernard at wide receiver for them. That's a guy that he could very well play his way into like the first two rounds of the draft. And you want to pay attention to names like that because they could be on the Chiefs' radar in like a round two or three, because round two or three is probably where they're going to have to look at wide receiver unless the defensive tackle situation just isn't great late first round and you end up having to go best available at a position of need. but Bernard is going to be a guy to look out for. They also have a couple of really good guards in Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts. And then on the defensive side, you got Jaheim Otis, defensive tackle, and then center and then cornerback Damani Jackson as well. Notre Dame takes on Texas A&M. This is probably going to be the second biggest game of the weekend behind the Clemson and Georgia game.
Yeah, loaded with talent.
Loaded with talent. Notre Dame's got Riley Leonard, who very well could be a first-round pick. A lot of people thought he might be a first-round pick in the draft earlier this year. He decided to stay in college and transferred from Duke to Notre Dame. You got tight end Mitchell Evans.
Who's considered consider him the best tight end in the draft.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who consider him the best. He's arguably 6'5", the best.
260.
Yeah, very, very strong athlete. On the defensive side, you've got Howard Cross III. Some people consider him to be the best defensive tackle in this draft class. And then right next to him is Riley Mills, another defensive tackle. They also have an edge rusher in R.J. Oben, linebacker in Jack Kaiser, and a cornerback. Some people think that this could be the best cornerback in the draft class in Benjamin Morrison. For Texas A&M, Connor Wigman, quarterback for them. Really, really talented quarterback. That's a guy that some people think could sneak into the Heisman conversation there. He's got a really good wide receiver in Moose Muhammad III. On the defensive side, you've got edge rusher Nick Scowerton. And opposite, on the other side of the defensive line, you've got Shamar Turner at the other edge spot. And they also have a cornerback in Will Lee III as well. These are two incredibly talented teams playing in this game here. And this is definitely going to be a must-watch this weekend.
Always tough starts, but a ton of prospects. And it's probably more than any other team in a game in this as far as prospects are concerned.
Yeah, I think, like I said, you could argue this, you could argue Clemson, Georgia. One of these two games is certainly going to be the one that's chock full of the most talent. Colorado State takes on number 4 Texas. Colorado State's got Torrey Horton, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons there. Texas has Quinn Ewers, could very well be the top quarterback in this draft class.
Definitely a first-rounder.
He's got to work on that deep ball, though, because, man, grinding some of that Xavier Worthy film, it's like, man, he probably left like 300 or 400
Xavier
yards
Worthy
on the field.
Xavier Worthy had to wait on the pass
sometimes. Yeah, it's like he's – and I think some of it is a timing issue. Some of it could be an arm strength issue. That is concerning. He's going to have to prove a lot of people wrong because I think Quinn would have gone in the draft if he would have been a first-round pick. But I think that a lot of scouts were like, hey, man, you don't got it in the first round this year. So I think that's why he decided to come back. And this is going to be a great opportunity for him to work his way into the first round. They also have a very good wide receiver, Isaiah Bond, who a lot of people are comparing to Xavier Worthy. This kid is a little smaller, but he's fast.
Transfer from Alabama, had 48 mm-hmm. catches a season ago.
Yeah, so this is a guy that a lot of people are looking at.
A Nick Saban recruit.
Yes, and, you know, Steve Sarkisian, former offensive coordinator for Alabama, makes a lot of sense that he'd be going out there trying to get some of those Saban recruits. They also have a tackle in Kelvin Banks. They have an edge rusher in Ethan Burks. And they also have a defensive tackle.
By the way, led that team in sacks. Yeah, some on the watch.
Yeah, he led him in sacks.
5.5, but still.
Yeah, still want to watch out for just in case he works his way up and becomes one of the best pass rushers in the nation. You also have a defensive tackle there, Alfred Collins, to look out for. Fresno takes on number 9 Michigan.
Oh, one more thing with Colorado State, Torrey Horton.
Yeah.
The wide receiver, yeah. I liked, for some reason, I like this kid, Chris. I mean, we talked about it a little mm-hmm. bit last year, back-to-back 1,000-yard years, but he's one of those guys I kind of like.
Fresno State takes on number 9 Michigan. You've got Donovan Edwards, who, you know, going into last year, we thought he could be picked right there with Blake Corum at running back.
I think he's going to be a great pro. He took a step back last year stat-wise. Even though in the national title game, he had 104 yards rushing.
Right.
He just took off and ran a couple long runs.
It was a couple long runs, but he was very inefficient last year. His yard per carry numbers went down significantly. So I think that was a big reason why he decided to go back to Michigan for another year, because if he would have had a great year, I think he'd be playing in the NFL right now. Again, another one of the guys who you could argue is one of the best tight ends in this draft class, Colston Loveland, playing for Michigan there. They've got two, I'd say this, of the teams that have two defensive tackles, if you're going to watch some defensive tackles play this year, if you're going to watch a team for defensive tackles, obviously Texas A&M, you want to watch out for them. But no, but Michigan is another one you want to watch out for, because you got Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, who both of those guys are going to be competing for the top defensive tackle spot in the 2025 draft class. Like, both of those guys are going to be competing for them. I've seen a lot of lists that have both have those two guys as like first round picks at defensive tackle. So if you want to see a potential future Kansas City Chief, could be one of these two guys there. So definitely want to watch Michigan play as well. They also have two really strong edge rushers in Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart. Good linebacker in Jayshon Barham, and then a good cornerback in Will Johnson. Southern Miss takes on Kentucky. Kentucky's got a couple of wide receivers that are going to be players to watch out for. Berrion Brown and Dave Key. Two guys that could power very hot, that could be the force behind a very powerful Kentucky offense. Defensive side, Deion Walker, another one of those guys who could be one of the best DTs in this draft class. Linebacker Jamin Dumas Johnson, and then cornerback Maxwell Hairston. So a lot of good talent on this Kentucky team. A lot of guys to watch out for. Definitely, I think. I wouldn't have thought Kentucky was going to be one of the more highly anticipated teams to watch out for this year, but they got a lot of talent. New Mexico takes on number 21 Arizona. A couple of guys to watch out for: Noah Fifita, their quarterback, and then Tatyra McMillan, their wide receiver. Tetaroa.
Yeah, this guy was sick. This guy's still, but 6 foot five.
He's massive. He's Mike Evans. He's a Mike Evans.
This could be a top 10 pick, but this is someone I want for the Chiefs.
He's a guy that I don't think he's the Chiefs archetype, but no. I think he's a guy.
He's gonna go way too early.
He's probably gonna be a first round pick. Like, it's gonna be him. It's gonna be Burden. It's gonna be Hunter. And they're going to be battling it out for that number one, for that top receiver spot in the draft class. I don't think McMillan is really the Chiefs archetype, because he's more of a Mike Evans guy, more of a Mike Evans type. He's 6'5", he's massive. But that's a guy that I think is going to be a fantastic NFL player. Then you've got UCLA and Hawaii, and the one guy you need to be watching out for that I do think is very much a Chiefs archetype is wide receiver J. Michael Sturdivant, a guy that we were talking about last year. He decided to stay. This kid's really talented. He's I think he can make an excellent slot receiver.
100%. We talked about him a ton last year.
Yeah, speedster. I mean, yeah, especially if Hollywood leaves in free agency. Xavier Worthy comes in, is able to move over to the X and has no issues there. You bring in J. Michael Sturdivant. If you get him like second, third day, and he turns into a really awesome slot receiver for you, I think you feel really good about your receiver room for the next 2 to 3 years. Then on Sunday, a couple big games. You've got two ranked teams facing off with actually one big game, couple ranked teams facing off. USC number 23 taking on number 13 LSU, and you've got center Jonah Monheim for USC. This is a guy that I think he was a former left tackle. He's kind of like Hunter Norzad, where he's played all around the offensive line. I think he was a tackle. I think he was a guard. I'm pretty sure he was their starting left tackle last year, but they decided to move him into center this year. This is a guy that's got a lot of talent. They also have a good defensive tackle in Bear Alexander as well. Then on the LSU side, you've got a couple of really strong tackles, Will Campbell, Emory Jones.
Will Campbell's considered a top five pick. And
Will Campbell is right now considered to be the top tackle.
Best tackle. And Emory Jones, well, he's the left tackle, and Emory Jones the right tackle. Right. But we're looking maybe, you know,
Emory Jones could be a first-round pick, too. Like, he's
in the 20s.
Yeah, on my rankings, I've seen him like a top five tackle, period. And you know how that run on tackles happened last year in the first round. Teams are valuing tackles a lot because teams are loading up on these edge rushers, and they're running rotations, so you're getting constant effort there at that position, so your tackle's got to be on point. I wouldn't be shocked if both of these guys were first-round picks.
You bring up Monheim. This is from USC.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this, dude. They just put him as offensive lineman at USC.
Yeah.
He's got like 18 starts at right tackle.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch at left tackle, 12 at left tackles. He's got starts at guard.
He's everywhere. Like, it was weird to see him move in from left tackle to center because left tackle is really valuable. But for them to move him into center, like, A, it means that they got a really good left tackle to replace him, but also it means that this kid's really smart because center is a really tough position to play too. And it's many times you're the leader of the offensive line. So for him to be in there, they clearly think very highly of him at that position. On the LSU side, in addition to Campbell and Emery, you also have wide receiver C.J. Daniels. You have a guard in Miles Frazier. And you got probably the best linebacker in this draft class with Harold Perkins Jr. So really, really talented class here. We'll obviously add and subtract names based on performance. Some of these guys are going to fall off the list. Some of these guys, there's going to be some guys that pop up that come out of nowhere. Xavier Leggett is like one of the best examples where he came out of nowhere and became one of the best receivers in the nation because he was incredibly productive when he was at South Carolina last year.
You know, and you look at Oregon and what they've got going on there too, as far as watching the wide receiver talent, because Dylan Gabriel's their quarterback.
Yes, and I didn't add them on there just because it wasn't a huge matchup. But
no,
Oregon,
no, it's not. But they definitely have wide receivers to watch.
Both of their wide receivers there are guys you're going to want to look out for. Watch out for Dylan Gabriel as well, their quarterback who transferred from OU.
Transferred from UCF and.
Oh yeah, he transferred from UCF there. Man. Yeah, he's been around there. But again, it's like what happened with Bo Nix. Bo Nix was an Auburn guy. He transferred to Oregon. A lot of people had their hopes high with him when he was at Auburn. He didn't quite live up to it. He goes to Oregon and he ends up in the NFL. He ends up a first round pick. Now he's a starter for the Denver Broncos. So
Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson,
Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart, the two receivers
came over from A&M.
Yes, yeah. So there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of great games to watch out for. Obviously, you can't watch all the games. I would definitely say for sure for Chiefs, A&M and Michigan are the two teams you want to watch out for as far as defensive tackles go. You want to watch Oregon. I definitely would say check out UCLA because I like that J. Michael Sturdivant kid. And also, you want to watch out for Texas as well because I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided to take Isaiah Bond.
Hey, man, Alabama didn't play with Worthy last year, but he comes up from Bama.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think this is a great class. I really like the receiver class. I really like the defensive tackle class. I think there's a lot of really good gems that they could take there. I think there's going to be some good options for the team this year. And I'm incredibly excited. I'll tell you this. I didn't enjoy watching Florida State, Georgia Tech, just because it was like Georgia Tech was just like scheming. They running like the same concepts over and over again, and Florida State looked so disjointed out there with DJU that it didn't. It looked like the first game of the season.
They're good at running the football. Brent Key's done a great job head coach.
Yeah, he's done a hell of a job there at Georgia Tech, and a lot of people think that Georgia Tech could be a spoiler in the ACC this year.
So you think a defensive line right now, and then wide receiver, or
I think defense. Unless something happens with the defensive tackle depth to where it isn't good late first round, I'm thinking defensive tackle first, then I'm going wide receiver second round. I'm getting a slot guy, smaller, faster.
We'll see how the receivers go, because a lot of it's the same crew that's been here.
Yeah, and look, the lot, like, it could be a situation that we saw in 22 where there was a huge run on wide receivers in the middle of the first round. All those guys went. And then by the time it got to the Chiefs at the end of the first round, it just wasn't there for them. That's why they went Sky Moore second round in 22. That could be, and I think that's probably what the situation ends up being. I think there's not going to be a first round caliber wide receiver there late in the first. So I think they probably look second day for receiver. Maybe they trade up and go get a guy that they like. I think first day, though, defensive tackle. I just think it's a position that is deep. I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think it's a need that the Chiefs have, probably the biggest need the Chiefs have. I also think you probably, sometime second day, you're thinking receiver, you're thinking edge rusher. I think just because of what we've seen from Felix, it doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me right now. And I'll withhold my full judgment until the end of the season on him. But right now, I can't say I'm confident about him because he did not look the part in preseason. So, but yeah, it's great to be back. It's great for us to be able to go through and do the. I had a lot of fun doing the watch list.
Yeah, the this watch weekend. List has been fun.
It was a lot of fun being able to put that together and watch some of the, you know, watch a couple of those guys there. I'm really excited for the start of call. Thursday is going to be fun. Friday is going to be fun. Saturday is going to be
Sunday and then Monday.
Yeah. Like I said, Monday's because it's not a it's great matchup. But you do have a big matchup there on Sunday night as well. So it'll be great to have that all college weekend that we're about to get. And then it's going to be really nice the weekend after.
It's some NFL.
Because we're going to have some NFL on Sunday and Monday and Thursday. And that combination is going to be awesome.
And college mixed in.
So great being back here. Great being able to go through these players. We'll be back here next week to give you all the news, all of our reviews on these players, tell you what we think. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero, and Character Concerns is back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.